day. Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, everybody. This is Eddie Miller. This is Blood River Radio. We had our guest is supposed to say the prayer. We're having a little difficulty there. It's a super surprise guest. He's going to be calling in a minute, hopefully. Like I said, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. It is March the 27th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2021. And there is, like we always say here, there is no other name under the heavens in which men may be saved except Jesus Christ Almighty. He's the only man on earth that can save you. That's for sure. Well, people, we have just a little glitch. We may even say another prayer. You can't pray too much. But we have a great, great show on for you tonight, man. I'm so excited about to pee my pants as you. Oh, great, great. Listen, I've got to go thank our donors. Then I'm going to let our super special guest say the prayer. But as you know, before we go to the prayer, we're going to go to our donors. Hank the Sasquatch, guess what he did? He sent me, I just mentioned that I was probably the only person in the Western Hemisphere who had never seen The Matrix. Well, Hank the Sasquatch sent me four sets of the movie The Matrix. And thank you so much, Hank. Thank you so much for that. Also, I'd like to put a quick thank you out for Ken in New York. Ken in New York, man, I mean, you know, he's more reliable than Big Ben in England. He donates to us every single month, and I am so happy for that. We also had a new listener and a new donor. His name is Tom from Fayetteville, Arkansas. He sent us a little quick note. But I can't read the whole note because we got such a complex show tonight for y'all. But anyway, I really appreciate that. I may be seeing him in Harrison, Arkansas in about a month. I don't know. But thank you so much, Tom from Fayetteville, Arkansas. Well, people, as you know, we have three, four very special guests tonight. I'm not going to announce them right now. We're going to go to our super special guest to say the prayer. And so I'm hoping that Mr. Matt Scow is on the line there. Are you there, Mr. Matt?
I'm here. You guys got me?
Yes, sir. We got you loud and clear. Mr. Matt Scow from True News Radio. I would consider it a great honor if you would say the prayer, Mr. Matt, because I know you are a hardcore Christian. I listen to y'all's show almost every day, and you're one of the few holdouts in America, or indeed the world, being hardcore Christian. So if you will, Mr. Matt, if you don't mind, please go to the Lord and do your thing and say a good prayer, Mr. Matt. Have we lost Matt? Matt, you there?
Okay.
Well, people, we're having trouble with Mr. Matt Scow. Mr. Matt Scow, I've talked to him several times last week. I even got to talk to Rick Wilder. Okay, we'll try him one more time. Matt, you there now?
I'm here. Hey, when something's going to go good, the devil's going to try to smack it down. So I'm here. You got me?
The devil's after both of us. The devil's after us. But listen, we're going to beat the crap out of the devil. Anyway, go ahead and say the prayer, Matt.
Amen. Okay, you guys ready?
We're ready.
Okay. Father God, we just come to you at this time, at this struggle that we have before us. This world is turning. It's changing every day. And we have to be bold now more than ever, and we have to lift up your name and fight this devil head on. And we just ask that these words we say today enlighten people and bring them to the truth, and you are the life and the truth. And we just thank for the opportunity to proclaim your name as King of all kings. And bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Amen, Jesus. Mr. Matt, I just tell our audience just about every week, if I don't forget, I'm getting so old and forgetful, that there's no name under the sun in which man might be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. That's the only way. He's the only way to God through the Son.
That's right.
But anyway, Mr. Matt, I just got through, man, I'm so excited about this show. Matt, if you will, I'm going to tell you who we got. Now, you know the two sailors we've got. We have my right-hand man, my brother, indeed. He's our staff member with Blood River Radio. He's going to be coordinating with the sailors. And later on in the show, don't let me forget, I want to ask you later on about the big operation you have going. About making the new movie, you're making a new movie called The Great Reset. But don't let me forget
Matt. The greatest reset.
The greatest.
Yeah, because they want us to live in their great reset, but our greatest reset is when Jesus come down and resets the whole world. So that is the greatest reset.
And that's how I know we're going to kick this crap out of the devil, Mr. Matt. And I know you know that too. I tell you, I don't fear the devil. I tell you, I just fear men that can take my soul. But you know, before we go any further, I would like to, if you will, Matt, because since you're the ones, you were the Matt Duskal is with, like I said, he's with True News, and he's the one that made the movie Sacrificing Liberty, and it is one hell of a movie. You need to see that. But Matt. But we're going to play the theme song for the movie in just a minute. But if you will, since you work with the sailors so much, would you introduce our two other superstar guests, our two sailors that survived the USS Liberty attack? Introduce them for us, if you will.
Well, I know who we got. We got Phil Turney with us, right? And who was the other?
We got Phil Turney. Yes, and we got Bob Scarborough.
Oh, Bob's with us. Oh, my good friend Bob. Me and Bob shared some... tough holes out there playing with Mo Schaefer out on his golf course. So yeah, Bob is a good buddy. He's a good friend and one hell of a guy. Love that guy.
Well, you know, you, I can't wait to meet him. You know, I'm going to take you up on your offer. You invited me down to Florida to the 54th anniversary of the Six-Day War and the attack on the Liberty. I can't wait to get down there and see these fellows. What an honor. But I've been told my right-hand man, Gene Andrews, is going to come on after the break. And I've talked to Phil. I've talked to Bob. And now I'm talking to you, Matt. Like I say, here's how we do it. Order of operations. We're kind of a redneck radio, you might say. We don't have a big studio, but my right hand man, Gene Andrews, he's watched the movie 3 times. The movie I'm referring to is Sacrificing Liberty. But before we go to a quick break, before we bring the sailors on, I want to bring the sailors on and introduce them to Gene, and because Gene was an old Marine, he was a combat Marine, he was the engineers of Vietnam. And tell us, before we go to the break, let's see if we got a couple minutes. Tell us about how you people at True News found the Sailors of the Liberty, Matt.
Okay. Well, Ed Zoll, he's the host of True News now. He got promoted because Rick's going to go off and do some more biblical teaching and stuff like that. He's been doing True News for 22 years. So I'm telling you, that beats you down when you have to roll in the garbage of the world and try to pick out the nuggets to give them to and tell the body of Christ and what's going on in the world. So Rick is moving on, but Edward Zoll, he came across a book that was co-written with Phil Turney, and I went over there to do an interview with the fellows down here in Florida, and we were just going to do a couple segments for a TV show on True News. And the first day I talked with 4 of them, I believe. And I never had heard of the Liberty. I mean, it's like almost embarrassing now to say that. And just because of what these men went through and and how close we were to a world war, a nuclear war. But we don't know. No one knew it was covered up. I guess that's the reason I never heard of them. So I interview these guys, and I come back, and I was just blown away. I was crying. I was just shook up. I was like emotional from the story that they're telling me, and I couldn't believe that no one had told their story, like the tragedy of what they went through and the bravery and the heroism and all that. So the second day I go and I talk to them again when he finished the interview, and I told Rick, I said, Rick, I have to make a documentary on this. I saw that Al Jazeera did one. It was all right. It was pretty good, but you know, it's Al Jazeera. They have a certain way they want to portray it. And, the BBC did one in 2000, and, another, it was decent, but it was more about what the reasons were behind and not like the main story. And they kind of left out the most important stuff about what these men went through, the bravery, the body recovery, and then the lack of being able to tell anybody with threats of court martial or jail or worse. And I felt,
Matt, we have to go to a quick break, my brother. Matt, we've got to go to a quick break. And listen, as soon as we come back, I want you to finish that. And by that time, your story, then we'll be bringing Gene Andrews on, and we're going to bring the wonderful sailors in. We'll be right back, people. I'm really excited about this super, super interview we have with the guys tonight. Hang on, we'll be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Welcome back to Blood River Radio. This is a great show we're having tonight. We have Matt Scow on from True News, and he is the one who was instrumental in making the movie Sacrificing Liberty. A lot of my friends have seen that movie, and I tell you what, I can second everything that Matt said. I never heard of the United States Ship of Liberty. I've seen precious few sailors that ever even heard of the United States Ship of Liberty. But anyway, that's what we were talking about before we went to the break. Mr. Matt Scow was talking about the making of the movie, The United States Ship Liberty. So continue on, Matt. Continue. We're talking about what you're filling us in.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. So, yeah, so after the second day of interviews, I talked to Rick, and I told him that we have to do this documentary. And we got to it. I had to start going through all what was out there about what was sourced with the Liberty, the narrative that they wanted to portray, that this was a fault, this was an accidental shooting, that Israel had, you know, made amends, and that was it, kind of brushed off. And the deeper I dug, the more the dirt came out, and just how filthy it was, and how the cover up, and all this stuff started coming out. I found footage that hasn't been seen for, you know, 50 years, newspaper articles, and that just started leading into other things. And the truth, I think, is finally out of what happened, who were the ones pushing the buttons behind the cover-up, the recall, the planes. I went and interviewed the first pilot who was sent to go bring aid to the ship and who was recalled by LBJ. So he was in his 90s, like 92, I believe, Bill Knutson. He was the first pilot sent out and recalled from LBJ. If he would have proceeded to his mission to stop the attack, there was going to be no doubt that Israel would have been spotted as the culprit behind this deliberate attack. No ship ever in the United States history has been napalmed, hit with a torpedo, and left to die, basically, left to sink. And these men opened up themselves to me. Like, it was such a privilege and an honor for them to tell me their stories candidly. I mean, it's been 50-plus years. They don't have anything to hide. There's no ulterior motive here. It's just they want the truth to come out. I spoke to men who had never spoken publicly before, who were on the ship. They're still holding this pain to today. One of the guys I talked to, he was the only remaining member from the CP group that was in the room that got torpedoed. 25 died in that room. He was one who survived, and to this day he has nightmares of this tragic event in his life that he was told to shut up and not talk about. So, you know, as an American, that I would felt it was my duty. As a Christian, it was for sure my duty to tell the truth, to expose the evils that were behind this, and that's what we did. And we did it. And then I had to tell Rick. I said, Rick, I can't do this in an hour and a half. There's no way. I was like, if I tell it in an hour and a half, I'm gonna have to cut out some things that are so crucial that people know. So we made it into a 4-part hour plus. So it was about 4.5 hours of video with these guys, and I think we told the story correctly.
I think you did too. I'll second what some other people have told me. It was so hard to watch it. It was so hard to watch the movie, Matt, that I had to take it in spells. And I'm not a stranger to blood and gore. I won't bore you with my resume. But, you know, after watching and reading other atrocities that's happened to our people, and I'm getting ready to go to our co-host in just a second. He's on the line. You know, what's really has just infuriated me is we're having such a hard time getting this truth out. Like you said, I don't know if you mentioned or not, but the attack on the United States ship Liberty, that's the only case in the history of the United States Navy where there was no congressional investigation onto attack. Like you said, only ship in the history of the United States Navy. It was napalmed. And I know I told Phil I was going to call my congressman and senator, et cetera, et cetera. I knew what the answer would be. I invited them to come on to speak to some of the most highly decorated sailors in the history of the United States Navy. But, you know, you have to go through this person to go through. He was Jewish, of Jewish descent. So I thought I left the message anyway with the guy, but you know, I know that was going to be kind of like
it doesn't matter why nothing will come to fruition with this, because of our allegiance to Israel, and that's a fact. This is something our government has decided to align themselves with after the killing of JFK. JFK was going to go into Dimona, and he was going to expose the nuclear program. Well, that made him enemy number one. I exposed in this documentary that LBJ had a Mossad mistress who was staying with him at the White House without her husband during this 5 days of the Six-Day War. The money man, Arthur Krim, who was a high-level executive movie mogul, he was financing the DNC, him and another Jewish man who were the main money behind the DNC. There's no doubt this was a conspiracy to hide the truth, to cover it up, and it's because of our alliance with Israel. We see these wars being played out again and again. That's another reason why the film is so important, is because it sheds light on this relationship that causes nothing but pain, sorrow, and death. And that is not a relationship that we should be in as Americans. I had the opportunity to go to AIPAC 2 years ago, and I saw the underbelly of AIPAC, and you know who was there? Every senator, Vice President Pence, both sides of the House, Nancy Pelosi, our Secretary of State was there, both sides, right and left. And they can come and unite under that goal, but when it comes to Americans' needs, they're always divided. So we got to expose that as well.
Yes, and you know what? That's one of our flagship things that we do here at Blood River Radio. We always try to expose that. I mean, you know, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that, you know, the tail wagging the dog. Our country has been we've gone through a complete communist takeover with this last election. But you know what? You might as well just say it's a Jewish takeover, a Jewish Bolshevik communist takeover.
Jewish as much as I would say Zionist. Zionism is the key here. The Zionism is it's not even a religion. They use the religion of Judaism. They're atheists, you know. But we have people like Jacob Schiff, who was a Wall Street mogul who financed the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. He's admitted it. He walked out of the White House with wealth and told him he's going to do that. I mean, these are things that are not taught in history. Now, I believe this is more of a Zionist agenda than Jewish, because they just used Judaism to claim land that is not theirs. And that's based. I've been to Palestine. I've been to Bethlehem. I've seen the treatment. It's inhumane what they're doing over there. And what it is showing this police state that we are going to be here that they're trying to implement. But it all boils down to what happened to these men at the Liberty. It really does.
You know, Matt, if a foreign country can do that to our United States servicemen and get by with it, and they did, they can get by with anything. There's nothing they can get by with.
They have people like they have honey traps like Jeffrey Epstein that run these sex operations that put these people in high places, political, technology, technological, like Bill Gates, and they all have a Jeffrey Epstein videotape somewhere. That's what it is. That's a Mossad operation. That's what Epstein was.
You know, it is getting worse, Matt. Like, as you well know, I'm preaching to the preacher. The U.S. shadow government under Biden, you know, that poor senile guy, they're bringing in this. People call it the China Surveillance Society. But I would like to remind people, all roads lead to Tel Aviv. The Jews, like they say, Zionist Jews, whatever I say, communist Jews, they went, they set up Red China, just like they set up the communist Soviet Union. And Matt, I hear we've got to go to a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to introduce you to my co-host, my other man, Gene Andrews. Be right back, people. Hang on to yourself. We got Moscow. We got the sailors on them. We're getting ready to go back to the Liberty. Be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Major League Baseball Players Association is now encouraging the league to move this year's All-Star Game from Atlanta now that a new law restricts voting access in Georgia. President Biden said the new law is an atrocity. He was asked if his administration would challenge Georgia's new restrictive law in court.
We're working on that right now. We don't know quite exactly what we can do at this point.
8 years ago, the Supreme Court practically killed the federal law that said states with a racial voting discrimination history must get permission to enact new voting laws. The Biden administration would now have to find another way to challenge the new restrictions in Georgia. The governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, said it's obvious that neither the president nor his handlers have even read the bill. This is USA Radio News.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs. And because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by March 31st. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Forecasters say more severe weather could be hitting parts of the South and more tornadoes are possible. In Alabama, cleanup continues. In Alabama, cleanup continues after twisters touched down on Thursday. At least six people were killed in the storm that knocked out power lines, downed trees, and damaged homes in Alabama and Georgia. Noonan, Georgia experienced heavy damage around the historic downtown area. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey offered her sincerest prayers to all impacted. The storms began on March 17th and produced 25 tornadoes in just Alabama. The state of Florida is threatening to sue the federal government if it doesn't lift its pandemic ban on cruise lines that are using U.S. ports. Governor Ron DeSantis and Attorney General Ashley Moody say the state is being harmed economically by the shutdown and that cruises across the globe are operating safely with restrictions and protocols. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The Venus is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, dear Blood River Radio family, Lord have mercy, I love y'all so much. I've always told people that you don't become a critical care RN to make money. You know, you're not a combat medic because you want to make money. That's for God sure. But we have a natural love for people. I really do. But to people, in case you're just tuning in, we have one heck of a show tonight. We have Matt Scowl from True News coming on. Just in case you don't know, he's the man. He was instrumental in making that movie, Sacrificing Liberty. And I cannot encourage you enough to get that movie and show it and do like I do, like I'm going to do. I'm going to try to get rent a building, a movie, a church or something to show that movie to people, comers that will come, because the news needs to get out. That story needs to get out, but we have Gene Andrews on. He's a right-hand man, and he's a brother of mine. He's a rock solid guy. And guys, we got sailors on the show tonight, but he's a Marine, so just give him some slack, How you doing tonight, Gene?
I'm doing fine. We've had some technical difficulties, but I think I can hear you okay right now.
Well, I'm glad to have you. We got tonight. We have Bob Scarborough, the two sailors. We have Bob Scarborough on. And we have Phil Torney, and we also have Matt Scowl from True News Radio. But Phil Torney and Bob Scarborough, they were both survivors of United States Ship Liberty. Gene knows about this, but technical difficulties are no stranger to us here at Blood River Radio. But we just roll with the flow. But guys, we just you just heard the Gene Andrews. He's a just a brother of mine. I think the world of him, and you know what? He's just the cog. He's the major cog. He's just a great cog in this show. But we'll let we'll let Matt continue on a little bit, and then we'll bring the sailors in. Gene's come pretty much going to do the, most of the interaction with our sailors, even though I've talked to both of them, Phil Turney. But go ahead, Matt. Matt, if you will, finish up where you were, son. I say son because you're so much younger.
Okay. Yeah, so I think he kind of went off on a couple things here, but it's basically that we'll get back to the Liberty here. What I uncovered with the Liberty is that this was an operation that I thought CIA, high-level people in the 303 committee with LBJ implemented months before to get these guys positioned to get to become a false flag for us to go into Egypt and take out Nasser. I spoke with a Soviet captain of a submarine ship. He's in the movie. He's dead now, but I grabbed an old interview with this man, this Soviet military man, interviewed him. And he admits he was in the region during the Six-Day War. And if we would have fired on Cairo, as we were planning on doing, their mission was to strike and hit the Dome of the Rock in retaliation. This is from the words of the captain himself of the submarine. So imagine that. Imagine if their plan that they had concocted in Washington and in Israel came to fruition. These men would be dead right now. Cairo would have been nuked, and then the retaliation would have been the Dome of the Rock being struck. How different would our world look right now? And that is the story of the Liberty in a nutshell.
You know, Matt, before I go back to Gene, I heard or read that that operation actually got into the works, the planning stages, as early as 1964. And I think it was kind of a spinoff of what they call, you might want to say, the Operation Northwoods, where, you know, the United States government, Black Ops, they were going to send a loaded airliner out over the Gulf of Mexico somewhere, I guess around Cuba, and they were going to shoot that airliner down with and kill all the civilians on board of the airliner, and they were going to blame it on the Cubans. So, you know, our government, I get the point here before we go to Gene, is that the government we have, I look at our government now, folks, is just a criminal cabal. It's just a savage, Satan-worshipping criminal cabal. I have no respect at all for the government that we're so-called government we're living under right now. I can think of no more evil government. But anyway, Gene, I'm going to introduce the sailors to. Hey, Matt, I'm going to introduce the sailors to Gene. Gene, welcome on board with Phil Turney. Say something, Phil. How you doing tonight, Phil?
Yes, sir. Good.
How you doing tonight, Phil?
Oh, I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, you know, Gene, my man Gene Andrews, the Marine, he's going to be kind of asked. He's got a thousand questions to ask you and Bob. And Bob, how are you doing tonight, Bob?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Eddie. I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
I tell you what, it's such an honor, guys, Mr. Bob and Phil. It's such an honor to have y'all on our own Blood River Radio. And I hope that me and Gene can get the word out, spread the news as much as possible. Me and some of my other people, we've got a couple little operations planned to try to bring attention to what happened to the United States ship Liberty. It may be a bridge too far because God knows I got so many projects in the works. But if possible, I would love to try to organize a marathon. At least a half marathon. I would have to go to the state of Mississippi to do it because we're under these mask rules here in Memphis and everything. But I would like to do that and call it something like the United States Ship Liberty Memorial Marathon or something like that. But anyway, Gene, you know the sailors. It's Phil Turney and Bob Scarborough. Would you like to open up and ask one of them, just address them and ask them whichever questions you'd like to ask, Gene?
Yes, sir, and I am deeply honored to be talking to these gentlemen, and what they went through and how they were treated by our government is an absolute disgrace, and what our government did to the men on this ship. I think I would like to just kind of run through the history of this and let them tell exactly what was happening. As I understand it, the Liberty in June of 1967 was off the coast of West Africa, and then it was ordered to go through Gibraltar and into the Eastern Mediterranean. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. It certainly was.
Okay. You were sent there. The Liberty was 12 miles off the coast. It was there by itself. There was no destroyer escort. There were no other naval ships close by, no carriers, nothing that looked like a naval ship in an area close enough to support the Liberty. Is that correct?
Yes. Not that I knew of.
Well, that goes back to what they were talking about earlier about how this was a setup by this 303 committee and Johnson and McNamara to absolutely sacrifice an American ship to get a war started with Egypt. How many crew members were on the Liberty?
294 souls.
294, all right. So our government was willing to sacrifice 294 American sailors and Marines on there as well, simply to have them wiped out and the Liberty be sunk and sent to the bottom of the Mediterranean where there were no survivors, no witnesses, no one to testify what had happened. And they were going to do that to our own military personnel. That is almost unbelievable, but that's what happened. Now, the attack, could you give us the date in June when the attack started and what happened that date? I think our listeners need to hear the story from the people that were there.
Yeah, I just wanted to answer something, Gene, that I apologize. It just wasn't the 294 crewmen they were willing to slaughter. It was a hell of a lot more than that. It was a lot of people. If our ship goes down, this world is in deep trouble. So they were willing to sacrifice everything, in my view.
Well, this could have been the start of World War III. If the Russians got involved with what we're doing over there, this could have been World War III going on right there. And you're correct. It would have been a lot more than the 294 on board the Liberty.
And that is correct.
So if you could take us through what happened that day in June of 1967. From that morning, there was a flyover by some of the Israeli planes, and they recognized it as an American ship. And where did we go from there?
Phil? Well,
go ahead, Phil.
Again, I wanted to just say, well, after learning so much, after what Matt, Rick, and Edward has done with sacrificing Liberty, I knew things, but I didn't know exactly how they worked. And the reason I'm going back to this is because sacrificing Liberty. And Matt Scow and the whole team, the way they treated us.
Hey, Phil, we have to go to a break. Dear audience, dear guests, we have to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back. People, we've got Bob Scarborough on and Phil Torney, survivors of the attack on the United States ship Liberty. We have Matt Scow from True News, and we have Gene Andrews, who's kind of helping ramrod this show. We'll be right back in just a minute, people.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie or Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Well, Blood River Radio family, thank you for holding on. I'm going to try to be as fast as possible. Eugene was conversing with two of the sailors, United States Ship Liberty, and the survivors of Phil Torney and Bob Scarborough. We also have Matt on the line, and Matt can tune in, chime in anytime he wants to. So far, I think we're doing a really good job of coordinating these people. Go ahead, Gene. You were talking, I believe, before we went to the break. Go ahead.
Well, we want to give our listeners an hour-by-hour account of what happened to the Liberty that day when it was under attack. Now, as I understand it from the DVD that I saw on Sacrificing Liberty, the Israeli planes flew over there in the morning. And it had, we're flying, Liberty was flying a garrison flag, which is a good sized flag, about the size of somebody's living room wall. And there was no question about what that ship was. And the story came out that they thought it was after all this happened, that it was an Egyptian freighter. It wasn't anything close to that. So, gentlemen, Bob or Phil, if you can tell us, start filling us in from there. Pick it up with what happened after that morning and then when the attack started that afternoon.
This is Bob, and from my perspective, I had a mid-watch the night before. I was a CT, and I was below decks pretty much all night. And then so I got off work about 7 in the morning, I got some chow, went to sleep. And so I wasn't even I woke up about 11, and and by that time, all the flyovers had been going on, and I wasn't aware of it. We were just talking about it, sitting down below decks. Phil was topside, and I think experienced a lot of this, seeing the flyovers, which I did not. I wasn't aware of anything until the strafing began, and I could hear the shells exploding across the overhead in our berthing compartment.
Yes, sir. And about what time did the first attack start?
Well, about 2 o'clock. Yeah. Well, the attack started at 2, but I thought you were talking about the flyovers. I'm sorry.
No, that okay. You were on deck. So what time did they come by in the morning? And then they had from that morning until 1400 or 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. in the afternoon before the attack actually starts.
Well, they had there was a lot of planes. I don't know, flying boxcar and smaller planes and another plane, DC-3. They're a tail dragger. They're very easy to recognize. It's a and Star David's all over them. And we were happy they were with us. I thought, wow, this is. It was kind of nice because you could see everything on the beach. I mean, the smoke and bombs and, I thought, well, I'm glad I'm out here and not out there and we got the American flag on our ship. We are bulletproof. Nobody's going to attack this ship. That's what I thought. But
yes.
It
They also thought they were our allies. So we weren't concerned when we knew it was Israeli aircraft doing flyovers.
But then it was the Israeli aircraft, of course, that came back and attacked y'all. And they made several runs. It wasn't like just one pilot got the wrong coordinates and attacked the ship that he thought was the excuse was they thought it was an Egyptian freighter. There were several planes that made strafing runs and firing rockets and so forth at the Liberty. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, it is. And the original story was there was two or three aircraft. And with over 850 rocket holes, cannon holes in the ship, and over so much devastation, I can't really tell you the magnitude of it, but it was bad. And how in the hell could three aircraft do that?
Like 5,000 bullets, 800 cannon attacks. In the film, you see we have the actual IDF soldiers who call with the radio dispatch. They called the call letters back to the headquarters. They knew what ship it was. Everybody knew what ship it was.
It was a
absolutely, but that
crystal.
That was the whole.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Of course, they knew what ship it was, but that was the whole point. That was the ship they were going to send to the bottom, and that had already been set up by Johnson and his McNamara and that bunch of rats in Washington, and just
the head of the
those 200.
Yeah, the week before, the head of the Mossad was there. Ahmed Amit. He was there to get the go ahead to go with it. That's why the Liberty had to get to that position incredibly fast, like without a warning, like get to there. They had never been in those waters before. It was unheard of for that ship to be in those waters. There was no reason for them to be there. The war had already been won, but they needed them to carry on the mission.
Well, yeah, and just sit. The Liberty was sent out there by itself like a sitting duck. There was no destroyer escorts. No American planes were providing any air cover. They weren't flying over there.
The skipper even asked for a destroyer to accompany them, which was denied by John McCain. This went all the way up to the King, and this was denied.
So there was the attacks. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it was a crystal clear day. It was a beautiful day. In the morning, we have pictures, and I think Matt has most of our pictures that showed the captain and engineer and other people sunbathing on the deck in the morning. That's how comfortable we were. It was a beautiful day. Exactly. It was no fog of war. It was a deliberate, massive attack. Yeah. And they thought we were going to be easy pickings, and they brought three torpedo boats from 50 miles away. That's hardly an accident. That was a coordinated attack with aircraft and torpedo boats.
Now, the torpedoes they fired, I think, if I remember the film correctly, there were five that were fired, four missed, and one was a direct hit into the side of the ship, and that was the one that exploded, and that's where most of the casualties came from, were actually down below deck. It was horrible enough on deck, being strafed and had rockets ripping the deck apart.
And napalm,
yeah. They didn't miss a trick. They used everything they had, didn't they? But the real damage was when that torpedo exploded, and so many of the 34 killed in action, many of them came from that exploding torpedo down below decks there.
25 were killed instantly by the torpedo. Yeah. I was about 30 feet away from where the torpedo hit the side. And it blew the bulkhead.
Hey, Bob.
Right over me.
Bob, now, I'm just going to interject here.
I believe, were you one of the spooks and you were in that compartment? Are you the only one that survived in there? Fill us in on, I think you were what they call a spook. Is that right, Bob?
No, I was not in the compartment where the torpedo hit. The torpedo hit a cross member, fortunately, and kept it from entering all the way into the ship to explode. So it actually exploded on the exterior, put a 40 by 30 foot hole in the side, and took out the bulkheads. And I was behind a bulkhead on the amidships, and all the sailors that were killed instantly were all in that compartment where the torpedo actually hit. They were all They were all communications people.
This was an act of God that it didn't get sunk to the bottom. It hit a beam and split in half before it went into, because typically they will detonate inside of the ship and bring it into and it'll collapse. It actually exploded outside of the ship and punctured a hole in it, and it created quite a damage. But think of this, the miracle that it hit a beam precisely to split that thing up before it did its massive damage. It would have been catastrophic. Even after they hit it with the torpedo, they circled around the ship and shot it, trying to blow up the boiler room over and over, repeatedly for a half hour, strafing a ship that had been already torpedoed, shooting life boats. It was shooting ducks in the barrel. And these men showed more bravery than you can imagine and pulled through and kept that baby floating and got a signal out. If they wouldn't have got a signal out, this would have been a different story. The reason why they were so crucial that they got a signal out is because they strafed all communication towers the first strafe. So they knocked out all communication. They jerry-rigged a line, a coax cable, got a signal that went out to the world. Like, people in Vietnam got a hold of this signal. The Russians heard it. The Israelis heard it. So they had to hurry up and shoot the cavalry came. And even though the cavalry did come, LBJ recalled the plane was sent to help the ship. That's how diabolical this was.
Got help 18 hours later when the USS America, the USS Little Rock, and the USS Davis showed up 18 hours later.
So
y'all were in extreme peril, taking on water, and just like they said, it's a miracle that the ship didn't roll over and sink right there. But having that large a hole, a 30 by 40 hole blown in the side of the ship, it's amazing that you could keep it afloat. That's really something. Now, you talked about, you got a message out. As I understand it, a sailor just shinnied up one of the masts with a wire and made a makeshift antenna to get this signal out, because, as you said, all your communication gear had been strafed in some of the first strafing runs they'd made deliberately to knock it out so you couldn't call for help. Not only did they launch aircraft off the carrier, they were called back, and then either that carrier or another carrier launched another strike of jet fighters off their carrier, and they were called back. So there were two, as I understand, there were two separate launches of planes, American pilots coming to rescue an American ship, and first McNamara and then Johnson called them back. That is unbelievable. Those people should have been taken outside the White House and put up against the wall and shot or something like that. If that's not the true definition of a traitor, I don't know what it is. But anyway.
Like I said earlier, we interviewed the first pilot that was sent on the
mission. Hey, guys, we got to go to a break. Hey, guys, Bob, Phil, Matt, and Gene, y'all hold on. We've got to go to a break. We're transitioning into the second hour of the show, and, man, I tell you what, one heck of a show. But we'll be right back. People, dear Blood River Radio family, you're listening to two of the survivors of United States Ship Liberty, Bob Scarborough, Phil Torney. You're listening to Matt Scow from True News and Gene Andrews, the combat Marine in Vietnam. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, people. We're going to the second hour. Thank you. Hold on.